Check one, check two.
Give it up for...
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What do you want?
When you need that backup quarterback, it's kind of like a lawyer, right?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Trace down.
Yep.
You must go to the next man up.
Touchdown!
Jimmy Garoppolo.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests... Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, plus six-year NFL veteran Andrew Hawkins. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, yes, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku channel and the Odyssey app. And then, of course, the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. We're going to be back on Sirius XM next week. Can't wait to tell you that information. The bottom line is this. In terms of being the host of a television streamer, a host of a radio terrestrial show, soon to be, once again, a radio satellite show, and a radio streaming show with a podcast that is distributed by the Cumulus Podcast Network and also YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. In terms of that host, I am him. And back here, sitting here on this set. And I appreciate Susie filling in with Marshall Faulk so expertly yesterday, talking to him. And I don't mean Stephon Diggs. I mean Ed O'Neill. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Great show, guys. Terrific show. I was taking care of business with our new partners, Roku and the Roku channel. It was a lot of fun yesterday hanging out with all our new partners. And now it's going to be great fun over the next 3 hours right here on Channel 210 on the Roku channel. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich,
how are you, sir?
Man. What's happening?
Good to see you, DJ.
Hello.
Mikey
good
D.
Good to see you, Rich.
As in D's Nuts, Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, light that candle. Light the candle, why don't you?
Still trying to recover from Ed O'Neill, and I hope we don't get too many FCC fines because he was dropping balls.
I am not concerned about the FCC fines. I'm concerned about PETA. I mean, he talked about a cat with
a cat
condiments all
cat
over
sandwich.
It in a hot dog bun that apparently... Chris Farley put together in John Lovitz's house. I mean, my God.
Super Bowl party.
It was one of the greatest Mad Libs I've ever heard. What a story. And it's all sitting there on our YouTube page. If you're missing it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. It's also soon to be when our video on demand service gets up and running on the Roku channel. We're very excited about the future of this show on our platform. It's all sorts of good in the hood. 844-204-RICH, number to dial throughout today. So again, this is an amazing world that we live in. We're during the Roku live event that I was in the audience for before being on the stage. I was watching our show on the phone. And that's what you can do when you get the Roku app. The Roku channel's on it, and it's free, and it's great. So I'm on my flight taxiing down the runway from San Francisco's airport. I don't forget what they call it in San Francisco airport.
SFO.
SFO is the initials.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm on the runway, and I'm watching the Yanks. It's 8-4, Pirates on top of the Yankees. But I'm watching it because Aaron Judge is up, and he's sitting on 59, getting ready to hopefully hit number 60 at some point. And they showed Roger Maris's kid, by the way, who's got that crew cut flat top,
yeah,
just like dad.
It's
just like, dude, I'm telling you.
He had that when McGuire was chasing the
dude. I'm telling you, he looked just like his dad. And I thought to myself, man, because I thought that when McGuire was chasing down Maris, the poor Maris family was being dragged all over the
everywhere
country until he would hit. And McGuire, it took a while for him to do it.
Yeah.
But Aaron Judge is so red hot. He's so
hot. Is he?
He's so incredibly red hot that I am streaming his at bat on a runway, taxiing down the runway in a game the Yankees are losing 8-4.
Yeah, you got to.
And sure enough, he gets that cookie right down the middle of the plate at 3-1. Pitcher challenges him, and he destroyed the baseball as he has been doing in the second half of this season. He's hitting over 360. And this is the part of the season when the Yankees have been terrible. They have been a mediocre, average baseball team since the All-Star break. And Judge hits one into the left center field bleachers for number 60. And to the point that I've been making, for weeks now. And I understand that, you know, he's caught the babe. And you even pointed out, Chris, on Twitter last night, Ian O'Connor, who's been on this show many times, who writes for the New York Daily News, and he's written some great books, talking about how he's now the modern-day Babe Ruth. And you point out, there's an actual, you know, hitter pitcher in Southern California. There's two. There's another one here in Southern California, Shohei Ohtani, doing actual Babe Ruth-like things, which is homering, hitting for power, and then being a lights-out pitcher as well. To the point that I've made that I don't want to hear any more of a conversation about the MVP and its judges, the MVP, and I understand that that could be taken as a detriment to Shohei Ohtani, who is a unicorn, who is incredible, who is somebody who I point to my children and say, remember this, we'll be talking about this with your kids. You know, knock on wood, I'll be around to tell them these stories if you don't remember it. Judge's home run last night, I believe this. It sparked a rally. It was like his teammates were like, okay, there is no way we can lose a baseball game in which Judge hits 60. And just like Maris, when Maris did hit 61, kind of needed to be shoved out of the dugout to take a curtain call. Like, he was sheepish about it. It's like, this team's down three.
Yeah.
Right. And he kind of like, yeah, I know I just hit 60, but, you know, the Jays are crushing the Phillies right now. That would leave us only five up in the loss. We got three to go with them after four with the Red Sox. You know, would really love to stick it to us. You could see that was his body language when he waved to the crowd. And I believe it. His teammates were like, we can't lose this thing. Rizzo doubles, and then Torres walks, and then Josh Donaldson bloops one in. I understand you could say, how does he control whether one bloops in or not? I don't know. Baseball is just a fickle beast with momentum and belief and all of that. And then up steps Giancarlo Stanton, who was one strikeout shy of the golden sombrero, who couldn't really lay wood on much. He was being booed like it was his first month as a Yankee 3 years ago. And he lines one into the left field stands for a grand slam home run, and the Yankees win. And Aaron Judge is the most valuable player of the American League. And if there was a league-wide award, with all due respect to Alonso or Austin Riley, who is amazing for the Braves, who can't lose either right now. It's a great race in the NL East, although I'm sure you might use a different adjective.
Nah, this is exciting.
No, Mets have already clinched, but a playoff spot. But, hey, league-wide, if there was a league-wide MVP like the NFL, I mean, they don't break it up by conferences in the NFL, it would be Aaron Judge. Not just because of the figurative or the emotional aspect of it, like I just brought to you about how his teammates essentially said, we just can't lose this thing. Put up the numbers. Here it is. On the screen, we are showing you for our radio audience, Aaron Judge is tops in the American League in batting average now, because last night his home run gave him a .316 batting average. That is now tops in the American League. He is now on pace for a triple crown. Last Yankee to have a triple crown possibility where he led every one of the categories of average home runs and RBIs in September was Mickey Mantle. He's number one in runs, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, WAR, walks, total bases, one in all of them. And, hang on, the one he doesn't lead, steals. He doesn't lead steals.
No, he's slacking.
It's
come on.
It's
John. Well, hold on.
No,
Cedric Mullins.
Cedric Mullins of Baltimore has 31. But guess what? Judge has 16 steals.
This is pretty impressive.
He's 15 behind. He's got 16 steals.
He's 6'7", 280.
Because normally you'd say, okay, the big slugger, he's lumbering. He's stolen 16 bases, 17 intentional walks.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
End of story. Can we just stop it and just sit back for the next 2 weeks and just understand what we're seeing here? What we're seeing here. And what we're seeing here, I'll say it, I had a front row seat to that 98 season.
Yeah.
Mark McGwire retired to me. And I love him as a human being. I just love him. I loved getting to meet him. I haven't spoken to him in well over, I think it's got to be like 15 years, which is a shame because I used to hang with the guy and be, I just love him as a human. But when I asked him about, you know, juicing after when he retired in his retirement interview with me on ESPN, he wasn't truthful with me. And, you know, I got what, Sosa, you could say what you will and say that Bonds never popped for anything. Okay. Okay.
But
never popped for anything. Just the eye test. Let's go eye test, everybody. Okay.
It's kind of judgmental.
This right here, right here, what we are witnessing, because this is the era where I'm assuming Major League Baseball is testing everybody like Judge, like crazy.
You think?
What we're seeing right here is the run for the ages that we've been waiting for a very long time. That's what we're seeing right here. Because we are assuming he is clean. He's looked like this size, since the minute he came up for the Yankees. This, what we're seeing, is unreal. 60. 60. He might, you know, it's going to be a heck of a run here. He could potentially, if he goes on a red hot streak, wind up with 30 more home runs than the next closest guy. It's possible.
He should really steal 4 more bases, Rich. No one's ever gone 60-20 before.
I don't know. I think Sosa did. By the way,
he did do 20.
I think he look it up in 98
real quick,
or the couple of years where he did. I mean, honestly, you know, everybody, you know, 60 home runs was kind of for a while when you're going between. Ruth did it in 27. Maris did it in 61, and now you're seeing Judge do it in 22.
Nah, Rich,
he did not. Okay.
The most he ever had in his career was 32, and that was when he was 21.
Let's go, man. Let's steal it.
So, let's be a record.
Let's go. I'm just saying what we're seeing is, in fact, the run for the ages that we've been waiting for since Maris, and then maybe, you know, obviously since Ruth. And the Yankees need every one of them. He's dragging them. And on top of it, just one last thing, and then I promise you, we'll stop talking about it for the moment. On this front, I'm telling y'all, as a native New Yorker, for him to not take the Yankees' money, for him to say to the Yanks, not enough. I'm going to bet on myself, and I'm going to go into this Yankee season telling you I'm going to walk if you don't pay me, but we'll just leave that aside for the moment. And it's not enough in this day and age, the amount of money that he turned down. If he didn't perform up to snuff, savaged is the only word. I just know that savage is in the box. New York would eat up, spit out, booze, all sorts of stuff. He has gone in the exact opposite direction. He has put... We talked, Jim, about it back in April when... Thank God the lockout ended and the Yankees and the rest of Major League Baseball started playing and Judge didn't sign long term, and he turned down all that money, and everyone's like, okay, buddy, you're almost 30. What have you done? Okay, pal. Yeah, you want to get paid till you're 38? It'll be like Albert Pujols all over again, like down here in Southern California, really?
Yeah.
And if I said to you, you know what he's going to do? He'll just hit 60 home runs and lead in every offensive category except steals. It is unreal. In this 24/7, 365, where every single human being in the New York City metropolitan area is paying attention, the Maris kid is right there, and he's homer. He's unreal. He's the best, man. He gets down on a knee when there's a kid there, and he looks them in the eye. Good God, Hal. Whatever he wants, give it to him. Whatever he wants, give it to him.
I'm gonna let you have your moment, Rich.
What are you? You're gonna pay him? You didn't pay Mookie Betts. He's sitting out here in Southern California.
We're not paying him.
Of course not. Red Sox not gonna pay him.
No. Giants might pay him.
Okay, great.
But I'm going to let you have your moment. This is a beautiful moment. No, and it's a beautiful moment for baseball. It's really awesome.
It is, right?
I just wish some Yankee fans were at the stadium to see it happen.
Oh, nice. I know you like that. You like that, that there are a lot of fans in the left center field.
Basically,
That were there as empty benches in the ninth inning.
Look, in their defense, New York's a little dangerous right now.
No,
maybe people feel like they need to get home a little earlier. So maybe that's why they left. I don't know.
Maybe it's not a good sports town. I don't know.
All right, let's see. I love that. Not a good sports town. Very good. Okay.
Most championships in the country.
All happened before you were born.
No, they didn't.
Most of them.
No.
All right. Let's take a break.
Millennium.
Let's take a break. Yeah, man. We love it. We love with baseball. 60 home runs.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Isn't it?
He's going to hit like 65. It's incredible.
I don't know. We'll see.
There's 15 games left.
We'll see. When did I take my kids to Anaheim? It was August
28th. I did the games,
It was 29th. It was 29th because it was Taylor's birthday the next day.
Yep.
It's September. On September 20th, he hit. So it's a month. It was 10 in less than a month.
But it's 100. He did it. So he hasn't played all the games.
I'm just saying.
It's been 147 games. And he's tied
to
Babe.
Which is another thing, too. There's no asterisk.
Babe did it in 154. No asterisks, man. He's a 7 games ahead of the Babe.
It's unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
What if he hits 10 more?
Well.
He goes on a tear. He's hit 3 in 2 days.
True. I mean, I would be pretty surprised, but it would be awesome.
Just keep going. All right, let's take a break here. Doug Peterson. He's the only coach in the AFC South with a win entering week 3. Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm like, bring me Doug Peterson as long as he's a first place head coach in the NFL, right?
Told you.
Jacksonville Jaguars this week.
Oh, he's 5 minutes.
Come out here.
Let's go.
He's going up the road. Oh, he's Tom Coughlin time. Is he Tom Coughlin time?
He's early.
All right, let's take a break. Rod Woodson's on this program and Andrew Hawkins in studio. Doug Peterson, when we come back, he's on Coughlin time. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled Jaialai. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. 6-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighLieWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport with its intensity and athleticism is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighLieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win 2 sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighLieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. It's netsuite.com/richpod. I'm just letting it be known that if my interview that I'm about to conduct with Doug Peterson is off in any way, this coffee mug is just for show. There's nothing in it. But you can go to richeisenshop.com.
Hey!
Adam, call screener. Do not bring me the coffee.
Bring the coffee, Adam. Adam.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go. Meanwhile, the phones are ringing off the hook.
There we go.
Wow.
God bless you, Adam. Oh, wow. My God. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Hold on.
Make sure it's the right temp, Rich. You might have to send them back.
Oh, look at that.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Wow.
That was not passive aggressive.
Oh, my gosh. Not planned either.
Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the only head coach in the American Football Conference Southern Division that has a win. The Jacksonville Jaguars, fresh off of their shutout dub at home against the Indianapolis Colts. His first win as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars is our friend on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Doug Peterson. How are you, coach?
Rich, I'm good. Hey, I'll tell you something. That dialogue sounds like a sideline on game day.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, you know, yeah, a lot of dialogue back and forth, and ultimately you got your coffee, and ultimately we get to play in, and we get a win, and okay, all things are good.
Okay. Are you a coffee guy, Doug?
Do
you?
Yes, yes, sir. I'm about a anywhere from a 2 to a 3 cup guy every day.
Oh,
every day.
Wow. Okay, so now do you space it out so you get that jolt, or are you just going to just slam it all down and then just walk around bouncing off the walls?
I'll do two in the morning early when I first get here as I'm waking up, and then I'll do one more, you know, later in the afternoon.
Okay. And what are we? Are we just a straight up highly caffeinated?
Straight up. I just black Keurig coffee maker here in my office.
Okay.
Just a straight. I don't put anything in it.
No. Nothing? Just straight up?
No. Black.
Wow.
Just
straight up.
Nothing, no half and half? No, nothing?
No, I never could get into this. A little too sweet for, even though I like sweets, coffee's a little too sweet if I did that.
Okay, Doug Peterson, mark it down. I mean, I guess, you know, being a head coach in the NFL, are there any coaches in the NFL who don't drink coffee? Doug Peterson.
That's a great question. I don't know. I think most of them probably drink at least a cup a day.
Okay. Have you ever come across anybody like that?
No, I have not.
What about Reed? What about Andy?
You know what? Coach Reed. Coach Reed is not a coffee drinker.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Coach Reed did not drink coffee. Yeah.
Just red meat?
Think about it.
Just red meat? That's his caffeine. He gets his caffeine from the red
meat. And, you know, back in the day, it used to be Diet Coke. I'm not sure what he's on to now.
All right. How is Victory Monday? Do you have one of those in Jacksonville? What do you have?
Oh,
what
no. No, I mean, it was a Victory Monday, but we worked. You know, we brought the guys in, and you know, Rich, this is the thing, too, with this team. We're such a young football team, and we're still kind of learning and teaching and just showing them how to win. You know, that's a big step for us, even this next week, going against the Chargers, and, you know, great opponent out there, but just learning how to win and how to handle that. But, yeah, we worked on Monday. Players were off Tuesday, and then we're back on the practice field today.
Well, I saw you had your – a press conference. I saw a phrase here that I'd never heard of before, so I like this. You're preaching a mentality called "so what, now what." What is that, Doug? What is that?
You know, it just tells you that it doesn't matter what happens, win, lose, or draw. It's the so what, right? You know, it's just how you move forward. It's the now what. What are we going to do with it? You know, and We lost in week one to Washington, and that was kind of our so what. And then we came back the next week, and we practiced. We worked on some things, got better, and we won the football game, and that's your now what. So it's just a mentality of you just got to put things behind you. You learn from it, move on, correct it, and just focus on that 1-0 mentality each week.
Where'd you pick that one up, Doug? Did you make that one up? Is that off your dome?
I wish I could take credit for that one, but no. That one's been bouncing around a while. I have a friend of mine, Dr. Kevin Elko, who worked with me in Philadelphia, and he's working with our team here in Jacksonville. And just, you know, just about just the sort of the positive mental thinking and how to message, you know, the team. And he helps me with a lot of different things. And it was a phrase that he actually approached me with when I was actually in Philadelphia, and I've carried it. It just means so much, and it's just a little phrase, but it carries a lot of weight.
Well, let me turn to the how and why then, Doug Peterson, with your quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. He just looks different, I'll be honest. You know, and it could be just first year to second year, and obviously what happened with your predecessor there last year and him or whatever didn't happen there. What are you seeing? What are you seeing in the first two games? You're like, okay, this is what I've been talking to him about. This is what I've been preaching to him about.
Yeah, you know, I think there is a jump, obviously, from year one to year two, regardless of the scheme or the system that you're in. And we've seen that. You know, for him playing, you know, every game last year was a benefit, obviously, to get a feel for the NFL and how the NFL operates and game speed and all that. And now it's for us as a staff too is just surrounding him with a lot of positive guys, obviously, coaching him, teaching him. He's like a sponge out there. He wants to learn. And nothing's perfect by any means. It's still a work in progress. But he's playing within himself, you know, and he's relying on the guys around him. And you're seeing that with Christian Kirk and the two running backs and, you know, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, guys like that, trusting the defense, you know, playing smart football. And those are all things that, you know, obviously I learned as a head coach dealing with the young Carson Wentz and now being able to sort of channel that teaching with Trevor.
So can you give me an example of the sponge where you said something and he took it in and then you put it out there on the field? Is there something that you could just throw out there? So
yeah, there's, folks can know? You know, obviously just even in this past game, you know, we see things as a staff, you know, on during the course of a game and, you know, you're making adjustments in game all the time. And, you know, we were able to do a couple of little things based on some of the coverages that the Colts were presenting, and he was able to just absorb it, take it back out the next drive, and actually, you know, use that, you know, to our advantage and execute a simple pass play, but we had to make a quick adjustment on the sideline and get it done, and he was able to do that. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that he just, you know, he just wants to learn and get better every day. He's got a great group of receivers that he's working with. Love the way they practice every week. And, you know, just one day at a time mentality.
So Christian Kirk as well, what a great game he had with a couple of scores. And, you know, obviously you've coached before in the Northeast and Northern Florida's got obviously a different vibe to it. But he got paid. He got paid a lot of money, and there might have been some pressure that comes with that. What have you seen from him on that front for him to come up with a game like that at home in his home opener, and what that means for you and your team, Doug Peterson?
Yeah, you know, that's the type of person and player that we know Christian to be, and I'll tell you this: having now worked with him just briefly, you know, for him it's not about necessarily the money. It's just about playing football and getting better. And, you know, he's such a great – he was top on our list, you know, in the offseason. He was a guy that we targeted in the free agent market, and we were able to get him. And, you know, we had resources to spend too. So, you know, we're not going to make an excuse of that either. But he's just exactly what we expected and more. And, you know, what he has shown the off season through training camp and these first two football games is exactly what we'd expected. And he and Trevor are on a good relationship, good page out on the football field. They talk a lot with all the receivers, but just a hard guy to defend and just knows how to play the game of football. He's got really has a great head on his shoulders.
And then this is a question I've always wanted to ask, And I have an opportunity here, even though I think I know the answer. You had a 15-play opening drive, and it was 9 minutes, 11 seconds long. I don't know if you're aware, it was the longest drive that your franchise has had since 2019. You hear a lot about first 15 scripted. Did you go, was that all scripted? Was that, because it's 15 right on the head.
We had a couple third downs, so you get to your third down menu. But
right.
Most of those plays did come off of the openers.
How about that?
You know, that you do script, because that's normally first and second down thoughts, and then you go to your third down thought. We had a couple. We had a fourth and three in there we overcame and got that, and then obviously the third and I believe it was four or five there in the red zone for the touchdown. So it was just, you know, listen, it's just a matter of communication and execution, and you practice these things in practice. You try to put your team in positions to be successful, and the guys, give the guys the credit. They went out and executed and, you know, scored on that opening drive.
And then Doug Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show, your defense, man. I mean, Josh Allen with a couple of sacks, your first-round selection outside of, obviously, you know, your first overall pick. Devin Lloyd, I mean, he's got 17 tackles this season. That leads your team. What are you seeing out of your defense that you like? Clearly, you liked a lot with them, giving up zero points. But what do you think here, Doug?
You definitely like a lot of things about that group. You know, I think, first of all, it starts up front with that edge, those edge rushers and those interior guys. I mean, that's kind of the strength of the defense, obviously. But, you know, you're seeing, you know, great communication with these guys. You're seeing just relentless pursuit to the ball. You know, we learned from week one. We got a little undisciplined in our run fits in the first week, and they came back and fixed it. And and did a great job against a really fine running back in a running game, you know, last week. And then those two guys on the edge are just special players, you know, and Trayvon is just it's everything that we thought and everything that we saw on tape when we were, you know, looking at him coming out of Georgia. And of course we knew the type of player that Josh is, and you know, it's a great kind of 1-2 tandem, you know, and again, the guys are just playing, they're playing loose, you know, and playing within themselves. Mike Caldwell's doing a great job of, you know, scheming for them, and particularly on third down where they can just use their strength and get after the passer.
Doug Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few more minutes left with the first place head coach of the first place Jacksonville Jaguars through 2 weeks. Let's get to the what now. You're coming out here. You're coming out here to Southern California. Which quarterback do you think you're going to see? What do you think for the Chargers? What do you think?
Well, you know, I've had this injury before.
Yes, I bet.
And it's obviously it's not a fun one to have. it can be a little tender. But I know this, and Justin's the type of kid that's going to want to play, and we fully expect him to play. And it's just credit to him, you know, to get himself in position to do that and get his health right. And so that's what we've got to go in and expect that he's going to play. And obviously, Chase is very capable backup. I've worked with Chase in my past in Kansas City and Philadelphia, and he's a very capable backup that can come in and you know, win a game for him as well. So, you know, that's our plan. You know, coming in, we got to expect for, you know, Justin to play, and we got to get ready for him because he can beat you through the air. He can beat you with his legs, and he's got some, you know, talented weapons around him. But the other thing too is he's got a tremendous defense, and that's one of the things that he does well is he relies on that defense to make stops and create more turnovers for the offense.
Well, if there's anybody at all on your defense, right, that thinks, well, he can't do it with that injury, right? He can't make the throws with that injury. How about that sequence? I'm sure you saw it on Thursday night where he turns down running for the first down because I imagine he doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want to slide. He doesn't want to go down on the ground himself, right? He just dirts the ball. And then that 40-yard frozen rope was ridiculous, Doug. That was unbelievable that he did that. You know,
it just goes to show you the type of kid he is and how bad he wants to win. And he's a competitor. And that's why you know, we expect him to play just because of that right there, you know, and he's young, and I mean, he's the leader of that team, and you know, nobody wants to miss a game, and especially him.
All right, and then you know where you're going next, so you know where I'm going next.
Yes, I do.
What's going to go through your head? I imagine we won't be talking again, certainly before week four, your visit back to Philadelphia. What do you think your reception's going to be when you walk in that building, Doug Peterson?
Well, yeah, I'd hope I get booed, you know. I mean, that'd make me feel welcome, you know. I'd get booed a little bit, feel right back at home, you know.
Okay.
Get that out of the way early. But, now, you know, honestly, I think it'll be a great reception, you know, coming back there. I'm looking forward to that one. Obviously, we got a game in between. But, you know, it's a place where, you know, we won a championship and the first one in Eagles history. So, means a lot. It's a special time and special place, obviously, for that. And looking forward to going back up there. And then hopefully I get a little mixed reaction.
Yeah, and I know it's not your team, and you do have, as you mentioned, another game beforehand. But I do want to ask you what Jalen Hurts looks like. I imagine you did see some of that on Monday night, part of that doubleheader nationally televised, and what he has turned into there in Philadelphia. And your thoughts on that process since you were in that draft room when he got drafted by Philadelphia.
Yeah. It's everything that we expected him to be and become. And I'll tell you this: that, you know, when you get to know Jalen, he's a hard worker. This kid wants to be great, and that's, I mean, he makes no excuses about that. You know, and he wants to be the best player in the NFL, and he's showing that. And obviously, the performance the other night, he did just that. And you know, go back to Alabama. He won at Alabama. He won at Oklahoma, and you know, he's now winning in Philadelphia as the second year starter. You know, new system last year, but he started last year, and I just think the world of him and what he's doing, and great kid. He's very humble, but tough competitor, and he's doing the things that I think we all saw when we drafted him.
Well, it's a heck of a week four game. I look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing what you do here in Southern California this week. And my last one for you is, you know, that respite in between Philadelphia and Jacksonville. I'm sure you thought a lot about, you know, the game and coaching and getting another shot, and now you did. What's it been like the last 2 weeks? The juice is flowing. You're out there. It's the NFL. You're winning a football game like you did this past week. Is it?
Yeah, it's great. You know, and that's what I told our team in Jacksonville here back in the spring. The reason I, you know, got back into football and was for the guys, to be around the guys. You miss the locker room. You miss the camaraderie with the players. And you know, to show that and to see that, you know, emotion Sunday on the faces of these guys. And listen, this team, you know, they historically they've not won. I mean, that's out there. And, you know, for them to do it in the fashion that they did it, you know, my hat's off to our players and our team for hanging together and battling through a lot of adversity over a long period of time. But, and listen, it's a young season. We understand that, you know. But at the same time, we want to enjoy, you know, every moment that we can in this league, because you never know when it's going to be your last.
No doubt. Doug Peterson, thanks for the time. What's on the ice cream menu for this weekend? Do we know yet? What do we got?
Man, I tell you, Haagen-Dazs vanilla, straight up.
You haven't changed it? That's it? That's it?
No, vanilla. That's it. I won't change it. No. No.
Is that just a palate thing, or is that a superstitious thing? What is that?
No, it's just a palate thing. I just love just straight vanilla ice cream. My wife tells me all the time, she goes, why don't you like Mercedes or BMWs or, you know, ice cream. It's, you know, it's ice cream.
I understand. What if Trevor Lawrence says, how about we switch it up? What do you do? What do you do?
It's a no. Right, there's some things okay. Don't change, and that's okay. One of them.
No, there's a line that you won't cross, and I respect it. I respect
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
Doug, thanks
exactly
for the time. Right. Always cherish it. Thanks. Greatly appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
you got it. Let's do it again soon. Yep. That's Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry. Not changing the ice cream.
Not even got to
respect
quarterback.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, T-Lock gets a few more dubs under his belt. I'm sure maybe the ice cream will get you.
I've always wanted to ask a coach that. 15, your first drive was 15 plays. We hear all the time about the first 15 scripted, which, by the way, I believe came from either Bill Walsh or even Paul Brown. I think that was the genesis of, let's script our first 15. I think that's a Walsh thing, if I'm not mistaken. And so here I got a coach, just had an opener. 15 plays. Did you use them all? And my follow-up question, because to me, when you have a 15-play drive to start the game for a score, and it's your quarterback who you need to get going with your connecting with your newly paid wide receiver, who a lot of people are wondering, is he a one? You're paying him like a one. Is he a one? And Christian Kirk has his first of two touchdowns on the day. You got to look at your staff and you got to go, okay, high five. And my follow-up question for Doug on that, I didn't want to say because I didn't want to put him in a position, but I'm going to say it now. The follow-up question is, did you then not look at your staff and ask them to defend their resumes after that opening drive? Because that's, you know, what's done in Jacksonville last year or so. Or you're just like, okay, you understand, like, okay, they're winners.
Yeah, you hired them.
You don't have to. You hired them. Well, I mean, that doesn't stop a coach from doing that if they hired them.
Good point.
Right?
Good
I mean.
Point. You still got my resume up there, by the way?
No, I still have Kyler Murray's agent saying he wants to get paid. I don't know why I can't quit this
like
piece
I said,
of
that
paper.
Thing needs to be laminated, Chris, and hung up framed somewhere.
All right.
Pretty good. Got some breaking NBA news.
Ah, let's go to break. Let's do that. Is it not? Please tell me it's not on Kyrie's Twitter.
It is not.
Okay, very good. Then we'll definitely talk about that. That's next. 844-204-RICH. Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer, top of the next hour. Does he think it's picket time in Pittsburgh? NetSuite is telling you about knowing your numbers because it's very helpful in these times. Just like 2000 and 2008, 2022 is a scary year for the economy. Dot-com crash and housing crash in the two previous instances. Right now, as you know, we're going through a roller coaster, total roller coaster, and it is dangerous to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, improve margins, everything you need all in one place. How do you prepare for the uncertain times? Again, the answer is simple. It's NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your business processes, and easily see where to save money. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program, so there's no reason to wait another second. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. What is the NBA news of which you spoke moments ago, Christopher?
All right, 15 minutes ago, Shams Charania tweets, Phoenix Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver has announced that he has started the process to sell both franchises.
See you. Get out. Don't let the door hit you in the behind on the way out. Robert Sarver. Anybody who has read anything to do with this execrable human being, look it up, knows that this is the only way to go about it. The only way to go about it. And, you know, I know the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, took the old slings and arrows, which is what a commissioner does, when he only suspended Sarver for a year and fined him $10 million. But a commissioner cannot force an owner to sell a team. You can't. The membership can force the sale of a team. Although you could say, well, what about what happened with Sterling? Well, Donald Sterling, you know, I guess had the idiocy to have it on tape. I guess if Sarver was had his stuff on tape, he'd have been gone a long time ago. That's just, I think, the way things work in the 21st century. And the other people who can force the sale is somebody like LeBron James tweeting about it and Chris Paul on the team saying this isn't good enough. So the writing's on the wall. I guess a minority partner of the team as well said, get out, Robert Sarver. Just go.
Yeah, Forbes has the Suns valued at $1.8
billion. Well, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the minority owner just say, I'll take your shares.
Maybe.
The fact that Chris Paul's got to go through this twice, though, in his career is unbelievable.
I know, Sterling,
man.
And now Sarver.
It's unreal. Of course, Sarver did kind of do what I thought he was going to do in his statement, based on our current unforgiving climate. So he played the canceled card on his statement.
He got canceled. Yeah. Okay, Robert, look in the mirror. You know, and that other statement, too, outraged me as well, because it is what so many people do these days when they apologize, to say to anyone I offended, right, as if that's a subset of the human race,
yeah, right,
as opposed to you were offensive to everyone, pal.
He also started off as a man of faith, so I'm willing to bet, I don't know him, he probably ain't a man of faith. But
I don't know him, I've never met him. All I know is I could see what's in his soul based on what was found out and
some
investigated
stuff,
but again,
man,
that's, you hear that, like, to anyone that I've offended, it's just like, okay, no, you're not allowed to create that subset of individuals, that smaller set of the human race, just those are the people you offended, because what, your language and the way that you were, there were other people that weren't offended by it. Oh, okay, I got it. And those people, guess what, They're just bad. They're just as bad as you.
Pound salt.
And to anyone, so I would like to put out a statement to anyone who wasn't offended by what Robert Sarver was founded
right,
to do.
Right.
You're terrible too.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that? And that's from the subset of the majority of people who read about what Robert Sarver said and did. So. There you have that.
There you go.
I mean, where do you turn after that? Kyrie's Twitter account?
Oh, jeez.
Uh-oh.
You know what?
I hope not.
Just on top of that, too, it's just... All right.
Please don't.
All right, I'm not going to go there. I just said what I said about the NBA. Can't wait for the season.
It's going to be great.
Can't wait for the season.
Oh, you see Robert Williams is having a procedure on his knee?
Well, he needed that, don't you think?
But he needed it in,
like a while ago.
Yeah, in June, and not like a month before.
Unless
the season
it was
starts.
So. I don't know. I don't know, brother.
Look. I know.
Question is when do I choose the Warriors to repeat? Now? Do I do that now? Do I do that now? Should I do that now?
Hey, Rich, based upon the way the Raiders are doing, maybe you should hold off.
I don't want to. Okay.
You should hold off maybe just a little bit.
I said the Eagles were going to win the East, so I'm not that good one.
TJ.
Just 2 weeks, man. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you could. Did I send this to you? Did I send you what Stone Street sent me yesterday? Did I send that to you guys?
He actually texted it to me.
You had it? He texted it to you too?
Yeah.
I'm strolling up.
Well, I told him to keep it up. Keep up the trolling. He goes, don't worry.
I get off the stage at the Roku event where, you know, when you're in front of people and you're doing stuff that you can't look at your phone, you feel it buzzing like, okay, I'll look at, you know, and it buzzed. Here, I'll hold it up. Can you see what it is? It says division leaders. It's a screen grab of the AFC division leaders.
Yeah.
And the yellow, it says FYI with an arrow pointing to the 0-2 Raiders.
To the Raiders.
That's all it says from Stone Street.
Yeah.
That's it. No comments, no nothing.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, because I
on a Tuesday. These games have been over for 48 hours.
Because I texted him.
This has been over for 5 days.
I texted him last week like, hey, keep trolling Rich about this. And he goes, don't worry, I will. And then he texted me what he sent you yesterday.
Raiders at Tennessee. Somebody's going 0-3.
Oh.
I think the Raiders win this week. But
yeah.
The Raiders should win this week. The
Titans are in trouble.
The Raiders should win this week. They should have won last week up 20-0 at home.
Could have won week one. Yeah, not good.
If they start 0-3 after I've put it all out, okay, I'm not going to do that. So let me say this to Stone Street and the rest of the Chiefs. For those I may have offended.
I got to take the Chiefs and Survivor this week. They look like the only lock.
Against Indianapolis?
Yeah.
At Indy?
All the matchups are tough.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I got to take a look at that. Although I don't condone such things. Rod Woodson's about to join us. Hey, Rod. He's got a football life on his football life.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh,
nice. And he got Steelers fans chanting for Kenny Pickett.
Oh.
That was quick.
Well.
Coming up an hour or two, my power rankings. Yes. Coming up.
Picketing for Pickett.
I think if Pickett struggles tomorrow night, we're going to see Pickett in week four.
Oh, you're Trubisky's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Browns
that's
Steelers tomorrow night.
I thought the last 40 minutes of the show was appreciably better, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because you had some coffee?
Yeah.
It helped. I think it helped. You were good with Doug.
Yeah.
Although Doug's straight black. I mean, I don't drink coffee, but... That seems
that's
aggressive.
A lot of people. More people actually
aggressive.
Be straight black.
It's a little bitter. It's a little bitter without the half and half. The half and half takes out that kick.
Yeah.
I was not a coffee drinker until I met Susie.
She said that yesterday.
Yeah.
She told us that.
Real.
Never drank coffee ever until I started cohabitating prior to marrying Susie.
I woke up with coffee. I mean, obviously.
You needed it to keep up?
Woke up.
You know what she does?
You needed it to kill.
She walks like she jogs when you walk with her. Hey, she's like, let's go for a walk with the dogs. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really want, like, you don't want to go for a walk? Why don't you go for? Because I don't want to go for a run.
Yeah, I want to walk. I want to leisurely
As
stroll.
Long as we walk.
I'm
you know, my
walking.
Walk is not like trying to keep up with you 10 feet ahead of me.
It's not us walking together. That's me following you.
That's right.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
if you want to go for a walk, great. I don't want to go for a run right now.
Susie anti-pickleball, too, by the way.
Oh.
She's only watched it for like 10 minutes.
Anti-pickleball.
Come on. What do you mean?
Is this another bus throwing under here?
Yeah.
Please. She's watched it for 10 minutes.
Uber. Uber.
Come on. Really? I got to learn that from you?
That's what she said.
Uber. Wow.
Wow.
for the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments. It's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents. Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.